Yeah, thanks for listening. This is the Sports Card Show, brought to you by NorCalSportsShop.com. Yeah, I told you I was going to have a little Michael Jackson for you today. Boy, you could have a whole show on Michael Jackson, man. The jeans, jacket, glove. That guy was amazing. Let me tell you, there ain't no one like Mike anymore. And maybe that's a good thing, but that might be a whole nother show and a whole nother genre. But the reason why we had Mike on today, he reminds me of the 80s. Reminds me of the, you know, a little bit of the back in the day. And when I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about sports cards back in those days. That's back when there was really only a handful of products a year, you know. Topps put out their Series 1 and 2, or Bowman did the same, and Upper Deck did kind of the same thing. And that went on for quite a few years, maybe starting in the beginning and going on. And you had all kinds of other parallel sets. I remember Denny's had some hologram cards, and you know, you could get cards at Kmart and cards at the Circle K and at the minor league game and at the stadium. There was a lot of different ways to get cards in the 80s and really 80s and a little bit into the 90s. But your selection was still limited. You were still limited to maybe a handful of brands, probably less than maybe 25. At the most, major brands, you're probably talking less than 10 until you got to the mid-90s. And that kind of broke. I mean, you're forced to buy certain cards. And if you wanted cards, you were kind of forced to buy one set or one series of a set. And it kind of set the stage for a little bit of a collapse, only because there are several factors, and maybe we'll talk about the first one, was because these cards were extremely mass-produced. One, because we're talking about a photo on cardboard. And, you know, a lot of times people come into our shop, and they got a huge, ugly cardboard box of cards, and they want to know if I want to give them, whatever, 40, 50 bucks for it. And I'm flipping through there, and it's the nastiest stuff you ever seen. And, you know, I try to explain to them that really what this is basically like you bringing your family photo album into me, because those are photos on, I guess, would be cardboard or paper. And it's kind of the same thing with cards, other than I recognize some of the people on the front. But for the most part, you don't recognize a lot of the people on the front of those cards. So it's the same thing. Those things don't really have much value because there's a lot of it out there. And it's, I hate to draw this, and I've drawn this analogy in some reviews I've done. And basically, I compare that era of sports cards. We're talking about, I guess, from like 1985-ish to about 1995-ish, I guess we'll call it. And basically, I compare this era to cars, and not cards with a D, but cars like Camaros, Corvettes, things like that. Collectible cars, Mustangs, cars like that. Now, let's break it down. We can go back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s. You could get Corvettes in the 50s and all the way back. And Camaros, I think, started showing up in the 60s, and Mustangs were fairly similar. Those cars, if you bought one pre-1970 or pre-1969, man, if you bought that car and you kept it and you kept it nice, that car is worth a grip of money today, especially if it's like a big motor or a rare option or something of that nature. That car is worth big money today. And you don't have to watch the Speed Channel. You can take my word for it, but they run Barrett Jackson auctions. And it's very common that Corvettes and Camaros of that era sell in the six figures or more. I've seen some go for the upper almost seven figures, and I'm sure some have gone that much. Now, let's jump forward a couple years, you know, maybe 10 years. Let's jump to maybe 1985 when Camaros and Corvettes and Mustangs, they're still being made. Let's say you bought one in 1985. Maybe you bought all three. I don't really care. But today, that car has definitely not appreciated it. Actually, in some cases, I know Corvettes just a little bit, and I know, I think, I want to say their sticker price back in those days was in the, I can't really say, I don't really remember, but I know that you probably can't sell that car today for as much as you bought it for. Whereas back in the 60s, you would have paid less than probably $10,000 for those cars, and you would have 10x'd your investment at least on certain models. So that lets you know about sports cards. The exact same thing has happened. You have cards pre-1960 basically, and obviously the further back you go, the more valuable you get. It doesn't matter who's on the front, it has some value. Obviously, not many people bought those cards back in those days when they were 25 cents for 10 of them. You would have had to buy them down the line. It's obviously hard to say how you could make money on those cards today. You obviously can. But if you did buy them back in the day, like you bought those Camaros and Corvettes, damn, you'd have hell of money right now. But if you bought the same cards, Mark McGuire, Jose Canseco, my boy Barry Bonds, Rafael Palmeiro, you know, the list goes on. If you bought those same guys and spent the same money on those guys in the 80s or 90s, dang, you're hurting, bro. Your stuff ain't worth nothing now. Dang, you know, and it's all a matter of 10 years, you know. And I hesitate to jump forward a little bit, and that's maybe where our next show will go. But maybe post the kind of gloom years, I don't know what we'll coin it. Maybe someone will send me an email, sports card show, sports with an S, card with no S, and show. Or I guess it could be sportscardshow @gmail.com. Send me an email, let me know what's going on. So, you know, I mean, it's to tease you on a future show, we'll talk about maybe the post-90s. And send me your title. What do you name this 90s, this 80s and 90s kind of, you know, we haven't touched on the values. That's maybe, I'm kind of getting stuttered here. But maybe we'll talk about the 90s and the card values and why they're a little bit different than they were back when maybe you collected. Back then, you know, I can think of Shaq. And I already named the baseball players that are kind of on another list. But, you know, those cards were selling big then. I know those cards were selling in the hundreds. And there was a lot of them out there. And people were spending big-time money on these things. And now the values have plummeted. And it's very hard to sell these cards because, you know, with the baseball, it's the steroids. Let's just break it down. You know, I'm sorry if you're under 18, but this should be a warning to you. Don't freaking do steroids, because these players, yes, they accomplished big things. You'll always see them and read about them. But at least for the near future, these cards are not going to have much value because people have a huge negative attitude towards steroids. It's not to say down the road how attitudes might change and how we might look back on these players and that we might actually look back fondly on these guys. And that could happen, and it's an interesting discussion, and it's the reason why sports cards are so good, because you can actually think about more than just the game. You're thinking about attitudes and perceptions, and that's a big thing that affects these cards in the 80s or 90s, is for the baseball cards especially, is we associate almost all of those players with steroids, and that's just not a good thing right now. And like I said, it might change, but for now, it's not going to change. Another sport I can think of was basketball. Shaq rookies, I know, were on fire. And you could not get a Shaq rookie for less than a decent amount of money. And this went on for a couple years until everybody realized that everybody had this card. And the supply was there, especially after all the product was broken. And the demand, after everybody bought a couple cards, the demand wasn't there. And so the price had to naturally fall. It's like anything else. If you're selling rice and you have 500 acres of freaking rice, you know, if there's a rice shortage in some producing countries, then, yeah, your rice is going to be more valuable. But dang, if it's blowing up where they're blowing out rice, then the price is going to go down because not that many people, a lot of people need rice, but not everybody. And the same thing with sports cards. You want to keep that in mind, is that when the supply is high, then the demand will also have to be high. In order for you to make a continued return on that investment, and we touched on it on a previous show, there's very few players. I mean, Shaq's a great player. I love Shaq to death, although he can rap, but boy, he's got to tone it down. If you're in the NBA and you do that, I mean, boy, but that's a whole nother show. But, you know, Shaq was a great player, but his rookies are not worth anywhere near what they were back in the day. And, you know, players like Ken Griffey Jr., although he's had injury problems, he's up there at 600, what we think, legitimate home runs, and that's pretty freaking good. So his cards aren't anywhere near they were. So players are hot. You know, I know I've touched on this subject quite a bit, but players are hot for a certain amount of time, and it might be a year or two in the beginning of their career. Then there's usually, you know, in a lot of cases, you can think there's a honeymoon late in their career. Off the top of my head, Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis was a great player, always was a great player. He went to Notre Dame, a huge college. And his cards were collected pretty well, and he played on a huge team, the Steelers. I think he played for the Rams maybe early on his career. I could be wrong, but I mean, he played for a lot of teams. His cards were always collected, and you know, Jerome Bettis cards are still pretty, you know, they've you're not going to make a bunch of money buying Jerome Bettis cards, but you wouldn't have lost a lot of money. Let's just put it that way. And you can't say that about every player. It goes up and down, especially today. It's a little bit different today. I'll try to focus on the 70s and 80s and why those cards really are kind of busters, you know? They really, there's just too many of them. There's nothing anything special about them. And it's really just cardboard with a picture on it. And there's some foil stamping, and there were some error cards and things like that. But all those things have lost their luster. And this is my theory on why. One is the steroids, and two is because the demand has gone down and the supply has gone up. The supply has not gone up. It is just is too high to reach the demand, which is too low. Now, the third reason, which probably doesn't get talked about too much, is basically what came before that and what came after it. And I'll draw the same analogy with Corvettes. To me, if I had a considerable amount of money, maybe $50,000 or more, and I wanted to buy a Corvette, I'm either going to buy a pre-1960s one, or I'm going to freaking buy a new one. Baby, those things are nasty. I ain't going to buy a 1984 one, even though I think those are awesome cars, and I'd love to have one in the driveway. But if I'm popping my dream vet, it's either going to be a brand new one or a really old one. Same thing with cards. You know, if you're going to be buying cards today, you're either going to buy the new cards, which have autographs. They're low serial numbered, but, you know, we'll talk about that on another show. Is those kind of trick you into thinking that they have not that many rookie cards out there, which it's probably as many or more than in the 90s. But there are autographs, and those are jerseys on there, and that's a piece of the player. That's actually, you either got a piece of their time signing that sticker that they stick on the card, or in some cases signing the actual card, or you get their jersey. Whether they put it on for 10 seconds and throw it off, at least it's their jersey. And if you could have gotten that back in the 90s, I don't think the cards would have crashed quite as much. Joe Montana jersey cards, early Brett Favre jersey cards would probably be squeal right now. So, you know, those things didn't happen. And if you're a card collector today, you could also dip back and pop the Mickey Mantles and pop, you know, all the old vintage football cards or whatever it is. Dude, you wouldn't want to buy a bunch of Mark McGwire rookies or Barry Bonds rookies. You just wouldn't do it. You'd be smoking some of that stuff they sell out here that you shouldn't do, boy. So you just should make sure, keep that in mind. If you're going to buy a big box of basketball or football or baseball cards, you probably don't want to pay too much for it if it's from the 80s and 90s, because that stuff just isn't collected today. Not to say that down the road it isn't going to be collected. And maybe this is going to be our next topic right here. So, down the road, if you have stacks and stacks of these cards, which I know casual collectors often do, and if you were a serious collector, your wife has probably beaten you so many times with the belt that those cards aren't even worth it. But let's say that you want to hold on to them because you have a 2-year-old that in 18 years, well, less than that, is going to be going to college. Or maybe say you're planning on having kids in like 5 to 10 years and you want to hold on to those kids and you're thinking that might put baby Jesus through college. I don't know. College is going to be a grip then. But will these cards go up? I don't know. That's a really good question. I can only give you some of my thoughts is that in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s, Babe Ruth cards, Mickey Mantle cards, if I had 25 cents for every story I had from somebody that told me they had these cards and mom or dad or somehow they got lost, I swear every collector that's a little bit older tells me that they had these cards and they all got thrown away. That's a very common story. And to me, it's believable because a lot of people didn't see the value in these cards. They were just pictures on paper, basically. And they threw a lot of them away. So that the supply was still pretty good. You had a lot of cards that were advertising and things like that. So the supply went down considerably. Now, as you get through the honeymoon of those players, now I never saw Mickey Mantle play. I've only seen glimpses of Babe Ruth and things like that. The way they make you think is these guys hit home runs every time and they never struck out and they were like God's gift to the world, not only baseball. So those cards are very collectible and very expensive. And in the 80s and 90s, since we have such a fresh memory of all these players, it's not the same way, especially because of all the negative stuff that has surrounded them. Now, that's not to say but if I have kids, will they have no memory of ever seeing Barry Bonds play. Or, they'll read about steroids, I'm sure. But what kind of attitudes will they have then? What kind of medicine techniques are going to be used then that might blur the lines? Maybe steroids aren't going to be quite as negatively looked upon in the future. And if you're looking way down the road, if you're a young collector and you're looking to hold on to these for 30 years, 30 years from now is a long time. There's probably going to be quite a bit different attitude on steroids in sports than there is today. It's a relatively new issue. People are kind of freaked out about it. But in 30 years, man, people, it's going to be a different world, bro. So you might want to wait. You never know. That's a long time to wait, and it's a lot of storage space. And if you live in a big gas crib, maybe you can have that shit somewhere. But if you don't, man, it's going to take up some space. And like I said, the wife that gets mad at you, I haven't experienced it yet. Whew, thank God. But I'm sure some of you have. I've heard plenty of stories. The wife don't like the cards, baby. It's just pictures. It's sports. She don't like it. Now, there could be some exceptions. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. Send me an email if you're a female collector. If I get over one email this week from a female collector, I'm going to be blown away. Not to say that females don't collect, but I think it's limited. I think it's a low number compared to you boys out there. So, I hope I touched on a little bit of the 80s and 90s today. I know I probably didn't get quite as in-depth as maybe some of you experts are probably thinking, man, this guy's a joke. But, you can only talk so much about, a Series 1 and a Series 2 and all the players listed and error cards and things like that. That's just not exciting today, and that's a big factor on why those cards are not worth much today and probably won't be worth too much in the future, because I'm sure card companies will think of something new. They always seem to do. But for now, autographs and jersey cards seem to be working pretty well, especially autograph cards, because an autograph of a really good player is worth some decent money if it's on anything. I've seen autographs on anything, and it's worth some money. And at least on a card, it has a good chance of being legit. So people are willing to spend some money on, you know, some decent players. Another thing, real quick, to wrap it up, another reason why those cards probably won't be worth quite as much is because the players that played in the era probably had some cards later. Guys like Derek Jeter, guys like Shaq, guys like Cal Ripken Jr., Brett Favre, they all played in that era. They have good rookie cards. Don't get me wrong. Those are all really good rookie cards and sell well and very collectible. And I don't mean to deter you from collecting superstar rookies, SP like A-Rod and Jeter and all those guys. They have good rookie cards. Collect them. But keep in mind, the cards after are bomb. You can get autographs. You can get jerseys of the players. You couldn't have gotten those then. And today, now a jersey autograph rookie is pretty standard. And imagine 10 years from now, the superstars, people like LeBron, who has jersey rookies, and there's quite a few other players. I'm sure I'm just drawing a blank right now. But there's a lot of players that will have jersey rookie cards in the future, and those cards are going to be worth big money, bro. You might be able to put your kids through college then. Whereas if you buy some Jeter rookies and buy some Cal Ripkins and stuff like that, yeah, they'll go up. But it doesn't have a piece of player on there. And that's why those cards are not going to be collected quite as much. And if you aren't collecting today, boy, now's the time. Hook it up. Get on eBay. Go to your local card shop. Give me a call. Send me an email. Visit my website. I haven't plugged it that much, but it's NorCalSportsShop.com. Check it out. That's where you'll be able to stream the shows. I don't know if you'll be able to download. I don't think I've got that capability yet, but you'll be able to stream them there. And if we're not on iTunes yet, we're going to be on there soon, bro. So don't trip. And I'll see you all next time. I don't know what we'll talk about, but you ain't going to be worried about that, because I'm going to break it out with you with some more MJ. I ain't talking about Michael Jordan. I ain't talking about Magic Johnson. I'm talking about the king of piss up, Michael Jackson. I know you remember this.